Yes, Lord, lift your hands right now. We are free. We are free in the Lord. You know, people try to think America is free, society is free here. No, I don't agree with that because there's just too many things, and even in America, that takes our freedom away. But with God, there's not man, there's not the devil, there's not anyone out there that can take your freedom from God away. That's freedom. That's freedom. And we have it. Heavenly Father, thank you. We've been talking about faith, and I told you I'm going to keep us on faith, but today I think it's a little different twist to my message on faith. Faith, if you kind of figure out faith, you figure out what people like have a tendency to put faith in a realm that you can't go through trials or tribulation because you have faith. But I want to put the importance of faith as an everyday life. Faith and your everyday life. Faith in what you're going through. Okay? Faith in your trials. Faith in your tribulation. Faith in your struggles. Faith in your financial struggles. faith in your physical struggles. That's what faith is all about. It's how we go through our faith. In the back of your bulletin, there will be the excerpts of that and plus the scriptures that I'll be using. I will be going through a lot of scriptures today, okay? So follow with me. I'm going to move us over a little bit so that so that you guys can pick up on the scriptures. But I'm excited because it helps us understand that walk of faith. You know, people like to put faith as such a great thing, and it is a great thing, but we go through things in life. So while you're turning to Hebrews 10 verse 35 through 38, I'm going to tell you a little story. There was this elderly lady, and she was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about it. Every morning, she would stand on her porch, in her front porch, and she would shout out, "Praise the Lord!" Every morning, she'd do this. There was a problem. Her next-door neighbor wasn't as enthusiastic as she was. And her next door neighbor happened to be an atheist. So he was very frustrated and very angry at her proclamations. So he would shout out, "There ain't no Lord!" When she would say, "Praise the Lord," he would refute to it, "There is no Lord!" Well, this went on forever. But something took place. Hard times set in on this elderly lady, and she prayed to God to send her some assistance. She stood on her front porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord! And by the way, God, I need some help. I need some food. I'm having a hard time here, Lord. Please, please, Lord, send me some groceries." The next morning, as she would always do, she got up, went out to her porch, and noticed a large bag of groceries and shouted out, "Praise the Lord!" Well, the neighbor jumped out from behind the bush and said, "Ha ha! I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't." The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands and said, "Oh, praise the Lord! He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil to pay for them." And that's what God can do for us. When we learn to have faith to believe that he'll even take the devil and make him take care and pay for you. See? I thought that was a good opening to our faith. There are six very important things of faith for everyday life we need to know and understand. Because there's going to come times in our life when things are going rough. Things are getting harder. And I hear nothing wrong with these preachers that are preach this prosperity thing, but sometimes it can hurt. Because if you don't get it, all of a sudden you feel, yeah, and he hasn't. Faith to be strong is my first one. Faith to be strong. And if you read in Hebrews 10 verses 35 through 38, it says, and it's going to be on the screen, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." Now, did you understand what that just said? Today is a study. I want to take you through the scripture and help you and I, learn together what God is trying to tell you and I. See, even though this was written back, the Hebrews were to the Hebrew church, you know, even though it was written back 2,000 years, it's still pliable for today. And God, and what Paul was saying here to the Hebrews is telling them, you know, you might go through something. And the Hebrews went through an awful lot. They struggled. They were persecuted. They were killed. They were martyred. So they went through a lot. But Paul said, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Oh my goodness. 2,000 years ago, they talked about the soon return of our Lord. And we are still today talking about the soon, or we should be. Churches today should be talking about the soon return of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. You need to understand that faith gives us strength in difficult times. Faith gives us strength when things aren't going well. Physical things aren't going the way they should. Finances aren't there. Your faith gives you the strength in the difficult times to carry you through. When we lose our faith and hope, we become weak and unable to face the storms of life. That's exactly what the devil wants in you and I. He wants you to lose your faith. Lose your hope. And all we have today is our hope in the Lord. Not our hope in our society. Not our hope in our president. Not our hope in our government officials. They need hope in God. That's the problem. They're putting their trust in themselves. And as long as you put your trust in yourself, you will fail. And our government, I'm sorry to say it to you, but the truth is, our government will fail if we don't have our faith and our hope in an almighty God. In God we trust. But are we really trusting? They have tried to take that off the coin for so many years. And, you know, that's the thing. They've tried to take it off, and maybe they will make it. But that's just another downplay of our government. In God we trust. Abraham was not weak in faith, but instead he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and absolute confidence that God was able to fulfill his promise even in a humanly impossible situation. And I want to read that one to you because it gives you the idea of Abraham. Found in Romans. So let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 16 through 24. Now, it's going to come up on the screen, and it already is. So, and I want to take this out of Amplified just to kind of give you a more inherent view of it. And it says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of a non-existent things that he was foretold and promised as if they already existed. Do you understand that? What he was taking into consideration and understanding and knowing that what wasn't even there at the time, he was taking it as it was there. For Abraham, human reason for, hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations. I don't care. Don't worry about it. Please. Get into the message and that thing won't even bother you. Yes. Where was I? Hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was 100 years old. Do you understand that? God told him, your descendants are going to be as the stars in the heavens. Well, how could that be, God? I mean, I don't have any children of my own. I'm 100 years old. There is no way, Lord. He could have complained and had every right to complain, as your age kind of depicts it. But he didn't complain. He didn't, okay? When he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb, Sarah's. So he had to look at both himself and her and could have made the conclusion, no way this is going to happen, but he didn't. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question. Do you hear what I'm talking about? This is in the Old Testament. This is not even today with grace. This is in the Old Testament. He didn't waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong. He grew strong and was empowered by what? Faith. As he gave what? Praise and glory to God. Now that's something you should underline. Faith, praise, and glory. He had faith to believe that God could do what God said God would do. Faith. Even in the circumstances that were it was unnatural. It couldn't happen. But he had faith to believe. Faith to believe. Fully satisfied and assured that God was able to, and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. But now listen to this. But the words "it was credited to him" were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for our sakes too. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus from the dead. This is Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Abraham had the faith to believe, even when it was impossible and circumstances were impossible, he had the faith to believe. And that's what we need. Faith to believe, no matter what. Faith to believe. Next one. Faith to pray and faith to forgive. Uh-oh. Prayer is okay, but forgive? Forgive? Well, let me take you to Mark. Mark chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. And it says, "For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer..." Oh my goodness, isn't that good? So far we're good, okay? "Whatever you ask for in prayer..." And see, you can ask a lot of things in prayer and not believe it. You can ask for God to totally, do something for you, but then you just go back and do your own thing. That's not believing. But let me go on. Believing, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you. And what does it say? And you will what? Let me say that. I don't think you guys figured that one out. You will get it. That's what God said. It's in His Word. I'm not making it up. This is not Jerry's translation. You know? That's faith. And whenever you stand praying, now here's another clincher. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it and let it go. In order that your Father, who is in heaven, may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings. And let them drop. But if you don't and do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. One thing good about the scripture that I love is the scripture gives you an understanding on faith and where faith is. But there's a condition to everything. One of the biggest conditions about that is that we love one another. Our society and our world isn't built around that. Faith helps us get the answers to prayer. When we pray in faith, expecting an answer from God, the Lord honors our faith and grants our petitions. But faith and praying with doubt, unforgiveness, and unbelief is a hindrance to getting answers to our prayers. We must come to God with forgiveness in our hearts for all those that hurt you, that treat you wrong. We must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Faith helps us to forgive those who have harmed us because we believe that God is a righteous judge. We commit all our pain and our suffering to Him. Do you got to figure out what I just said there? Faith helps us to forgive. Come on. Do you understand? Faith helps us learn to forgive. If we will learn to forgive others, that takes faith to do that. Okay? And forgiving, well, I can't forgive. Do you know what they did to me? Vengeance. That's what I say. Let's go get them. The Old Testament says that. So I believe we have to abide by that, right? But that's been reverted by God saying, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. Not you. Not you. Therefore, trusting in His justice, we forgive our enemies and do good to those who have harmed us. Some other scriptures that follow that is Romans 12, 19 through 21, and 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. We must learn, and that's where Christianity runs into some problems. We are fine and dandy, and everything's great as long as everything's going good. The first time somebody says something against you, you all of a sudden get your feelings up in your head, and you go moping and groping around, well, I don't like them, and I don't have to like them. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, according to the Word of God, yes, you do. You know? And you know, if you want to throw coals of fire on them, treat them good. If they hurt you, love them. Treat them good. Those that mistreat you, you give them coals of love, and that'll reap coals of fire on them. Yes. This is a study, by the way, so open up.
And she got mad. She said,
Bible says, forgive your enemies. And do good, do good, do good to those that mistreat you. That's what the Word of God is telling us. Now, faith also teaches us to love. Faith teaches us to love. Matthew 5:44 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Faith helps us to love others, even those who have harmed us. Because we are the children of the Heavenly Father, we demonstrate a divine love, which is different from the love of this world. And let me give you the example. The world loves those who love them. That's the world. But the world also hates those who hate them. Okay? That's the way the world is. Now you have to understand that we do live in this world. We have to understand the world's philosophy, but we don't have to be a part of that world's philosophy. God's philosophy is different. God's philosophy is love them. You know, and that's one of the hardest things to do. And where the Bible says, turn your cheek if somebody misuses you or slaps you. Turn your cheek. I have a problem. What happens if they hit your other cheek? No. But it doesn't say it in the scripture. I'm teasing you. God gives us the ability to love. Now, that's where faith comes in. Without that faith, we're going to automatically research out ways to get to them. Research out ways that we can do them the harm that they did us. And I'm not going to tell you, this is the hardest one that I have had to deal with in my life. Okay? I went into a meeting. I was an owner of a paint shop. Carcoa Auto Painting. We were third in the company. We had 25 shops. You know, 18 of them in Los Angeles area. Mine was the first one in Northern California, in Sacramento. Then they put three more in the northern area, which I was supposed to be a part of. But they never... In my contract, I was supposed to have one-third ownership of all Northern California. That didn't happen. They reneged. Okay? Because it was in writing, they could do whatever they wanted. I was immature in my understanding of law. So, December the 11th, 1979, I was brought into their corporate offices down in Southern California, sat in a meeting. I was one-third ownership. The other two owners sat there with their attorney. I didn't have an attorney. I didn't think anything of this meeting. I didn't think it was going to be that. And they said, you know, Jerry, we no longer need you. We are eliminating your position. We are taking your one-third ownership and giving you $4,000, and that's what you're going to get. Goodbye. God, how could you do this to me? I'm not going to tell you that I said a few words and a few things and a few thought patterns. I went back to back to my business, and they'd changed locks and everything. But do you understand? I have since, many years later, have given over to God, and I've actually even tried to email or Facebook some of my old owners. And a few of my people that work for me are now Christians and Facebooking me back. My best painter that was there, you know, he would come in and say, what is this with you and God? And I'd be in there painting 18 cars with him one day, and we'd comment, and he'd comment, and blah, blah, blah. But he ended up and he said this, the example you gave me was different than anybody I'd ever been around. And I, later on in life, decided, my goodness, Jerry was right. And it wasn't me that was right. It was God that was right. And he said he gave his heart to the Lord, and he's on fire for God now. Plays guitar. He's doing really good, really good. So And I've even taken the initiative to start Facebooking a few of my other my two partners that burned me badly. I've even Facebooked them saying, hey, just want to see how you're doing. And, you know, it's okay. They haven't retexted me back. But that's not for them to do that. It's for me. We have to learn to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, it ate at me for years. It did. It ate inside me for years. It was hard to get through that. But through the grace of God and His love, I did. Romans 8:35-39 says, Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Question. Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation or calamity and distress or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril of sword. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surprising victory through Him who loved us. And here it is. I love this one. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us. You like that word, us? Because what does that mean? Point to yourself. Me. It means me. Will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I really believe, if you don't underline that one, if you don't underline anything else, because it doesn't make a difference what you go through. See, faith. The faith message means an awful lot. But we've got to get the whole faith message. Not the highs. Because, yes, faith does present and make you feel like, whoa, this is great. I'm doing good. Until something happens. We have to have the all-around faith. The principalities of this world. The things that are going to come against you in this world. You're not alienated from them. You're going to go through them. You're going to go through trials. Tribulation, persecution. You're going to go through things that aren't right. This isn't right. Well, you know, as long as you're living in this world, you're going to go through them. I'm sorry to say it. But it's the faith that you have inside you that will help you go through all those. Because it says it right there in that scripture. It doesn't make a difference what you go through in life. Doesn't make a difference. It cannot turn your faith from God. He loves you that much. He loves you that much. Now here's a hard one. Faith to suffer. Faith to suffer. Matthew 5:10-12 says, Blessed. Do you feel blessed yet? Do you feel blessed yet? I hope you do. Because here's the beatitude. And one of the beatitudes explains to you that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I'm preparing a message or a study on the five crowns that God has for you and I. And one of those crowns is a crown of glory, a crown of salvation, and a crown that is given to those that go through persecution. So we're going to go through those. I don't know if I can do this in a one session time or more, but I think you need to understand the crowns that are being prepared for you when you do make it to heaven. Praise the Lord. Faith helps us to endure suffering. When we believe that a great reward is awaiting for us for all the suffering we face for the sake of Christ, we do not get discouraged easily. Now, I put that word in there, for obviously there are Christians that do get discouraged. We do get down. We're human. That's where humanity comes in. But even with Abraham, humanly, I believe he did get a little discouraged. Here God gave him a tremendous, your descendants are going to be as the stars in heaven. Well, that sounds great. That builds your faith up. And then you got to come back and say, well, now wait a minute. I'm 100 years old. There is no way I can have children. I'm too old. My wife is barren. She's dead. Her womb is dead. So, Lord, I understand that. So is it going to be spiritual? You know. But God let Abraham know, as he lets you and I know, that there will be glory. That he says, just hang on. You know, you might get discouraged a little, but hang on. That's where faith comes in. That's where love comes in, and that's where knowing the Lord over all these things. You won't get discouraged easily. Jesus endured the cross because he focused not on the cross. He focused not on the suffering, not on the pain. You know, if you think about it, he could have looked the other way around. He could have looked at what he was going to go through. He could have looked at the pain. He could have looked at the suffering. He could have looked at the torture. And he could have said, hey, I'm out of here. I'm God. I don't need this. He could have called 10,000 angels at any point in time, legions of angels at any point in time to come down, take him home, and destroy the world. But because he did not look at it, at the pain he was going through, but here's what he looked at it. He looked at it on the joy that was set before him. He did not dwell on the humiliation and the shame that he was facing. He looked at the joy of being at the right hand of the Father and being honored for what he went through and for giving us salvation that we did not have at that time. We must meditate on the eternal reward and glory that is awaiting for us. This faith will help us to face suffering. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you get that one? It said, don't let the suffering that you might be going through for a very little time, because it's minute, so don't let that take away the glory that God is going to show through you and in us. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm almost done. Faith to obey. Faith helps us obey God. Faith, in Hebrews 11:7, talks about helping Noah to obey God. And he built an ark even when there was no outward sign. There was no rain. They had not even seen rain. Water at that time came from the earth. So they did not know rain. He explained to the people of that time, it's going to rain. They thought he was crazy. What are you talking about, rain? You know, I don't even know what that word means, rain. Well, they found out. But it took, listen to this, it took faith, Noah's faith, to build an ark in the middle of the desert where there's no rain. It's going to take faith for you to do what God tells you to do when the world around you is saying it cannot be done. Do you understand that one? In Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, faith helped Abraham to obey God, to sacrifice his son Isaac, because he believed that God could still fulfill his promise by raising Isaac from the dead. Faith helps us to overcome our doubt and our reluctance and obey him implicitly. Can you imagine? This was not a son of Lance's age, as some people might think. But he's still, you are big. Would you stop growing? Soon I'm going to have to look up to you. That's horrible. Grandpas, don't look up. It says that his son was 30 years old. They figured it out. And in the midst of all this, figuring it out, the son had his own choices. He could have told dad at any point in time, no way. So it had to be not just, let me put this to your thought pattern. It had to be not only Abraham's faith to believe that God could do this, but it had to be Isaac's faith to let his father, get this. You're walking up a mountain and you know your dad, that he's going to do a sacrifice, okay? He says, that's what I'm going up there for. Well, Dad, where's the lamb? Where's the goat? I'm sure this is going, come on, Lance, you and I analyze this. Your dad, he's got a hatchet with him. It tells you to carry the wood.
A knife.
Well, in today's it would be probably a gun. But anyway, but a tomahawk, there you go. And your dad says, come on, Lance, we're going up to do a sacrifice. And you're looking around, okay, Pops. Okay, we're going up. You got the tomahawk. I got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And then you put two and two together because you're not no dummy. And you realize, I'm the sacrifice. What would you do? I don't know. But Isaac loved his dad that much. And he had faith in his dad that it could be done. But I also believe he had to have faith in God, that God would see this whole act through. When they got up there on the top of the hill, he tied his son up. And right as he took it, and right, I'm talking about, it was to the nose bone that God said, whoa, hold it, right there. Okay, you've proven yourself. And there was no ram on this mountain. In fact, it was noted of the agricultural time and where that was, rams didn't go that high. They weren't noted to go that high. Okay? But yet, there was a ram stuck in a thicket of a bush waiting to be the sacrifice. Do you understand what God can do? If we have faith to believe. In circumstances that's unbelievable. Faith to believe. Let's keep that faith in God. Keep it in God. And the last one here is faith to praise. Worship. Praise. Praise. Acts 16:23 through 26 says, and when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He, having received so strict a charge, put them in the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet into stocks. Now, that's pretty bad right there, right? Now, do you think about it, how bad it was? But here's what they did. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and crying and moaning and groaning and complaining, Huh? Doesn't say that? It doesn't say that. I was just making that up. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Do you understand when you praise the Lord, even in places that, you know, you think it's a little unusual to be praising the Lord, like that elderly lady, you know what God can do? Okay? When you're singing praises to God at work, when you're worshiping the Lord at school, you know, under your breath. But when you do this, things will happen because people do hear you. They hear you. They hear you. The prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors were open and everyone's, not just theirs though, it says that everyone's shackles were unfastened. And if you read the rest of the story, the prison guard was so I guess he was distraught because he saw that, and he figured, oh my goodness, they're gonna leave, they're gonna run out, they're gonna do this, that he was ready to kill himself. But he says, hold it, stop, we're still here. We haven't left. But do you understand that? Faith helps us to praise God even in difficult circumstances. Paul and Silas praised God in prison and were delivered by a miracle. The apostle praised God when they were beaten up by the authorities. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, faith helps us to praise God even before we see the answer to our prayers, and even before we see the fulfillment of his promise. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. That's faith. Do you understand faith in everyday life? I hope this has helped you learn that we can have faith no matter what we go through. Yes, there's going to be trying times. It says it. The Bible says it. You know why I believe that, you know, the Bible gives us explicit instructions and helps us? And how Paul, you know, one of the apostles that wrote over half the New Testament, over half the New Testament, okay, in his writings, he went through a lot. He suffered a lot, but it never put him down. John on the island of Patmos wrote the book of Revelations. He could have got upset. He could have said, I'm here. I didn't do anything wrong. But he didn't. And God gave him the insight to write what is to take place in our world that we know. See, you might write another chapter in the book of Acts if you just keep your faith. Keep your faith in God, no matter what you go through. Faith in everyday life, it takes courage. It takes boldness. It takes wisdom. It takes understanding. Faith. And I did like what you sent me. After my message last week, Rhonda sent me a little encouragement. What was that, a plaque or something? That hold on. God has got a great promises in store for us. He's got a great promises in store for Adventure Assembly. He's got great promises in store for you. Do you understand that? In a world that does have no hope, in a world that has no promises, God is saying, I'm with you. No matter what, I'm with you. Hallelujah. I think we can stand and praise the Lord for that one. So let's stand. Heavenly Father, praise you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. And I know, Lord, whatever our needs are, you know them before we even say them. But God, sometimes it's good for us to, like that elderly lady did, sing out to you, praise the Lord, I need help. And she got the help she needed because she had faith to believe that you could do it. I have faith to believe, God, that you can do the impossible. You can do things, O Lord, that are humanly unreasonable. You can do that. I pray for each and every one here this morning. Let them keep their faith. Let them look at their faith, Lord Jesus, in an everyday life and walk in that faith. No matter what we go through, no matter what people throw at us, no matter what the devil tries to do, let us keep our faith. Let us not get discouraged easily. I go a step farther, God. Let us not get discouraged difficultly, but let us hold fast to you. I pray this in your mighty name, Lord. Now be with us as we go home. Be with us this week, Lord. And I pray, God, that this week, Lord, something will take place. Something miraculous, Lord. Something out that is impossible will come to pass in those of us that believe. Thank you, Lord, in your mighty name.